We're talking today with Dr. Jeff Edwards, Extension Wheat Specialist for Oklahoma State University. Jeff, as we get into the second half of January, we're right kind of in the middle of what we would traditionally consider to be the dormancy season. Temperatures, though, are not too bad right now, fairly mild. What kind of shape are you seeing as you get out and look at wheat around the state?
We're in pretty good shape, especially if you compare this year to the past couple of years. We're in really good shape. The real wheat belt in Oklahoma has some moisture. The wheat got off to a good start prior to dormancy. Due to the cold snap that we had, we actually have dormancy this year, so the wheat is just kind of holding in place. So pretty good shape. There are obviously some exceptions to that. The folks around Altus and in the western tier of counties, unless they got that snow back in early December, they're still in pretty rough shape. Wheat sitting there just barely poking out of the ground or maybe not even emerged in some cases, and that's a pretty tough situation to be in.
Now, when we think about the crop this year, you know, compared to this time a year ago and this time 2 years ago, it does look a lot better in overall, at least anyway.
It does. You know, we're really looking at a crop where in most cases the rows either have closed or come close to it, and that's really where we need to be whenever we come out of dormancy and start jointing. We need the drill rows closed, and normally it takes 3 or 4 tillers per plant to do that, and I think we're set up to be in optimal shape. And now if we can just get some moisture throughout the spring to go ahead and fuel that canopy, we'll be in really good shape.
When you think at this time of year, I know the one thing that you've really pushed hard on producers to look at, go ahead and take care of your fertility needs.
Absolutely. This is top dress season. When you have 5.5 million acres to cover, you have to get started a little bit earlier than you would if you didn't have as many acres. That top dress nitrogen needs to be into the rooting profile by the time the wheat is jointing, which is going to be late February, early to mid-March. So in order to have that happen, we have to have the nitrogen out there now, hopefully get about a half, three-quarter of an inch of rain on it and move it into the soil profile. And in terms of crop inputs, it's really hard to find a crop input. Maybe weed control would be up there that is as valuable or has as good of a rate of return as nitrogen. It is just an excellent investment, and really everything you do from this point forward in terms of controlling insects, foliar fungicides, those types of things, how much effect those have and how much of a return you're going to get on those is really hinging on having a properly fertilized crop.
So top dressing is something that will pay you dividends.
It is. If you're looking at ways to get by and save some money, in my opinion, nitrogen is not one of them. You really have to have that nitrogen out there if you hope to make a wheat crop.
Jeff, you mentioned foliar fungicides. We're obviously early on that, but when we start growing this year, if we are still in relatively good shape, that usually seems to be a pretty good management practice to do, even though you don't necessarily see disease at that moment.
It's worked out well for our producers. Our results over the years have shown that foliar fungicides will usually give you about a 10% bump. That's foliar fungicides that are sprayed at flag leaf. So if you've got a 50-bushel wheat crop, that's 5 bushels of yield. In some cases, it'll be much more. In some cases, a little less. And if you work the pencil to that, most of the time it's a fairly good investment if you have good yield potential. We have some producers even now that are making split applications of fungicides. And if we have producers that are interested in that, that first application really needs to go out just a little bit after jointing. You're either going to be, if you try and tank mix that in with your top dress nitrogen, you're either going to be a little late on the nitrogen or a little early on the fungicide. So my recommendation for producers that do want to make a split fungicide application would be to wait and make that a separate pass across the field if you plan to go that route.
And the interesting thing about the fungicide story is that you can almost pay anything you want to for a fungicide.
We have generics on the market now, and just the actual cost of product not applied. I've heard prices as low as $2 per acre, all the way up to $16 to $20. So it really depends on what type of protection that you need and really how much yield potential that you have and whether or not you can justify a premium product or not.
Let's swing back around now and get back a little bit earlier in that growing cycle, that first hollow stem decision. We do have about a normal number of acres being grazed. I think the NAS people came up with 34-35% of the crop has been been grazed this year. So we've got a lot of folks that'll need to make that decision.
We do. I made the wrong call this fall. I was very pessimistic about our forage potential. And we had a few snowfall events that kind of turned things around, and we wound up having more forage, or at least more than I was expecting. We have a lot of cattle out there. So we need to have those cattle off of wheat pasture by first hollow stem. First hollow stem is just before jointing. It's when that joint is there, but it's still below the soil surface. You have to check for it in a non-grazed area. To split the stems open if you have 1.5 centimeters of hollow stem there, which is the same as the diameter of a dime. You can use that as a measuring device. Then it's time for the cattle to come off the wheat pasture. And what we found is that any way you put a pencil to it, it's extremely rare that the added weight gains for grazing past first hollow stem offset the decreased grain yield. So in the system as a whole, you maximize profitability by having those cattle off there by first hollow stem.
Of course, I guess the only exception to that, if you go ahead and commit and you're just not going to harvest for grain.
Right, and that certainly, I'm sure we'll have some producers make that decision, and that's fine. Just make sure you have that decision prior to first hollow stem. And we do have some tools now that might help help producers make that decision a little bit earlier. We have a first hollow stem advisor that is launching on the Oklahoma Mesonet, and it's going to provide not only the current conditions, but also a 2-week forecast or prediction in terms of where we will be if current weather conditions hold in terms of first hollow stem. So that hopefully will allow our producers to get a little bit of an idea of whether or not they need to be making plans to get those cattle off.
One other area, Jeff, thought we might visit with just for a moment, a little bit as far as you've talked to producers, as you've seen the overall acres go in this year, what seemed to be the biggest hits as far as our varieties this year? We, of course, a few years ago we had some heavily weighted acres toward Jagger. That's now well past us. What's the mix out there today?
Well, I think we're going to see fewer acres of Duster. I still think it will still be the number one or number two variety within the state, but I do think those acres might drop off a little bit, and we might see it drop off more in the future. For producers who are primarily concerned with forage, it's still tough to beat Duster. It's one of the best forage producers I've ever seen. But if you're in a dual-purpose system and you're interested in getting grain yield after grazing, we've got some newer varieties that have been released that have a little bit better yield potential, better disease packages. Specifically, I'll mention Gallagher and Iba because they're Duster crosses. So they have that forage potential like the parent, but better grain yield potential. So I think you'll see those show up on the variety report this year in terms of increasing acreage. And Ruby Lee, we've had a lot of producers. We talked a little bit about fungicides. We have a lot of producers now who are interested in maybe putting a little more management into their wheat crop, and Ruby Lee fits those acres, and I look for acreage of it to increase this year.